1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. I'm excited about the word of God this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. It's very important that you pay attention to this verse of scripture. I'm going to read it again, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 to verse 8. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. It's important. Train yourself to be godly. In other words, godliness is not going to fall on you. You got that? Godliness is not going to fall on you. Godliness requires training. Then in verse 8, it says, for physical training is of some value. The moment it says physical training, we understand what he's talking about. Because every one of us has experienced some form of training. That's the truth. Every one of us, we have experienced some form of training. Either physical training in the sense of physical exercises or intellectual training. You've been to school, you went through university. So you know what training is all about. See, the challenge with so many people is when it comes to Christianity, they don't know that the same way you had to go for lectures, you had to write exams, you had to be tested, you had to go through a process. You know, some people like to wake up in the morning and, you know, pray about it, and by evening they are spiritually mature. Whereas you cannot go to a university and spend 24 hours in a library and become a doctor. So it's not about the magnitude of effort, it is about process and time. I like to say that to young people all the time. I mean, when I say young people, I'm saying young Christians. Sometimes you feel frustrated because you think there are some manifestations you want in your life that you don't see, and you look at some other people. Why do they have what I don't have? Listen, if you pay attention to what they pay attention to for the period of time for which they've been paying attention, you become like them. If you feed on the diet of giants, you will become a giant. Process. Time. Train yourself to be godly. Now it says, for godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is part two of There Is More. Father, in the name of Jesus, inspire us, instruct us, illuminate our hearts in the name of Jesus. Let somebody get it this morning in the name of Jesus. Make this the day that this revelation brings about change in the hearts of your sons and your daughters in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Last week I shared three powerful principles with you, amongst other things. But these are the three powerful principles we shared last week. We said everybody is crossing over. Okay? Either by death or by rapture. Everybody is crossing over. I told you, even if you live long enough to be 200 years, you are getting out of this place. There's something I need to put at the back of your mind. For those who followed when we did the series Inside Out, you would remember, you are a spirit. You have a soul, you live in a body. One major characteristic of spirits is that spirits don't die. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we say die, we're talking about spirits don't cease to exist. Understand? That's the futility of praying against your enemies. Do you understand? You say, it's my enemies, it's village people, you know, somebody's against me. It's one demon. Listen. If you think it's your grandmother that is on your case, you need to understand there is a spirit behind your grandmother. When your grandmother dies, the spirit will just exit, okay, and jump on somebody else and continue his assignment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, you also are a spirit, and spirits don't die. That's why this message is important. Whether you make it on earth or not, whether you achieve your goals or not, one of these days, you are going to get out of here and you are going to continue to exist. It's important to remember that. And I told you, number two, that there are only two options. It is either eternity with God or eternity without God. There are labels in scripture, symbolic labels in scripture that describes this, eternity with God or eternity without God. So you have the word heaven, or you have paradise, you have heaven. In the of this series, we're still going to break all of those things down for you. You have heaven, you have paradise, or you have hell, you have lake of fire. These are descriptions of eternity with God, eternity without God. Okay? The beautiful thing about it is that to spend eternity with God, you must accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior in time. So I told you there is time and there is eternity. Compared to eternity, time is like a dot compared to a mile. Okay? Eternity is everlasting. Okay? Everlasting. Time is limited. Let's not even talk about life expectancy. So with the grace of God, with the mercy of God, with the love of God, with the abundance on your life, we go to 120. You are still going to exist this side of life, and then on the other side, you will exist forever. And the beauty of it is God says you can choose your life in eternity. You can choose. You know, there are times when I look at some people, and I don't know if you have observed some people, but you look at the way they conduct their affairs, the way they live their lives, you find it difficult to see how that they can succeed. Do you know anybody like that? Have you met people like that before? The way they carry on, the way they do stuff, you're wondering, can this person succeed? Can this person ever make it? But what I love about God is when it comes to the quality of your life in eternity, He has designed it as such that even if you don't have the capacity to succeed on earth, it will not impact on your capacity to succeed in eternity. So He said, look, it's a level playing field. Qualification for life with me, for eternity with me, is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The easiest thing to do on earth is to believe. That's the truth. I mean, that's why people believe rumors. Because belief is the easiest thing to do. Belief is to believe. And God is saying, if you will just believe, we read John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18 last week. If you will just accept Jesus, it's as simple as that. You don't have to pay the price yourself. You don't have to go through anything. Just believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Now, that was last week's message. Let's move on now to today's message. I want to show you today, perhaps, how to develop what I call an eternal perspective. If you are going to exist forever, if you are going to spend eternity with God, perhaps on earth or in time, you should have an eternal perspective. Now, this is the message I brought to you today. This is important. Nothing we gain on earth is what the effort we put into living the Christian life. Pay attention. This is how you develop an eternal perspective. Nothing we gain on earth is what the effort we put into living the Christian life. Write it down. You need to write it down. Okay, if you're watching us online, this is how you let me know that you're watching online and you're paying attention. Type it in the comment section. Nothing we gain on earth is worth the effort we put into living the Christian life. So the Bible says, train yourself to be godly. Physical training has some value. It says, but godliness is valuable. It's more valuable than physical training because it holds promise for this life and then the life to come. Pay attention. Compared to eternity, time is like a dot compared to a mile. Are you getting it now? See, this is what I'm saying to you. If you don't develop an eternal perspective, if you don't see beyond the here and now, you will abandon the discipline that Christianity requires. And the reason why a lot of people don't put in the effort is you ask yourself, what is it? I told you last week, you hear arguments like, even countries that are better than your country, they are not praying like you are praying. Are you listening to me? It's a mistake a lot of people make. Listen to me. Even in time, never think that the prayer you are praying now is the experience you are having now. I mean, for example, now we've been praying twice every day now for like over 6 months. And it's possible for somebody to look at your life right now and say, what's the point? I've been joining prayer meeting for the past 6 months and I have not moved forward. You need to understand, what you are experiencing now is not a function of the prayer you are praying now. The same way you understand, everything you are doing now is not being rewarded now. This is what I'm saying. The time you fasted, the time you prayed, the time you had the option of doing good or evil and you chose good. What you are experiencing right now is not all the response of God to the fact that you chose to do right. When you don't understand that everything I do in time is also being recorded, okay, for eternity. You will lose sight of what you're supposed to do now. You will give up because it will not be worth it. Train yourself to be godly. You will not train yourself. You will not endure training. If the only reason why you want to train yourself to be godly is for earthly experiences. As a matter of fact, people will say things like, there are people who are not praying and who are richer. You are not praying so that you can be rich. Somebody needs to get that. You are not fasting so that you can buy a car. You are not serving God so that you can get married. Because you hear some of those weak arguments. There are people who are not serving God the way I am serving God, and they have a better life. So that's the mistake. Because you have tailored everything you do to this life. But the Bible says godliness holds promise, not only for this life, but the life that is to come. Paul the Apostle must have considered that this thing we are sharing with you, he wrote it to Timothy, he must have considered it a very important message, because he sends the same message to the church at Colossae. Let's look at what he told them. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 to 6. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 to 6. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. See, your life is not, I wake up in the morning, I live at Yanopaja. That's not your life anymore. Your life is not, I'm 35 and I'm still single. That's not your life anymore. You need to understand, there is more. There is more. So you have to set your heart on things above, not on earthly things. Okay? For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, can you see what I'm saying? So when you are trying to measure the totality of your life, you cannot just measure the aspect of your life that is expressed on earth. When Christ, who is your life, appears, he says, then you also will appear with him in glory. So verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Are you with me now? The reason why I'm going to put to death the deeds of the flesh is because it dawns on me there's more to me than this life. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's more to me than this life. There's more to me than this life. When Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph, it was not because Joseph did not have feelings. It was because Joseph counted the cost and he said, this thing is costing more than it's paying. And any believer that has an eternal perspective, it will dawn on you. When they tell you in your work, okay, just let's hang out now, you know, let's just have a good time together, and you get the job or you get the promotion. You know, what I am sacrificing to get this thing, okay, so I get this job, so I get this promotion, what it is going to give me is going to rob me of something I cannot pay for. That's the truth. But you see a married man and his discipline, is faithful to his wife. It's not because he does not know how to have fun. Some people don't understand. It's not because you don't know how to have fun. It is because you know this 5 minutes of pleasure is going to cost me much more than what I'm going to pay for it. It's going to cost me much more. It's going to take away from me something I couldn't have paid for. So you understand, everything I do has results, has effects, has consequences beyond here. Bruce Wilkinson is a man of God I love so much. Some of you remember when we did that series on forgiveness. Powerful teacher of God's word. Bruce Wilkinson says there's something called the unbreakable link. The unbreakable link. It says that there's a strong connection between time and eternity. So this is the law of the unbreakable link. That your choices on earth have a direct consequence on your life in eternity. This is very crucial. Your choices on earth have a direct consequence on your life in eternity. So when somebody says, oh, let's go out for a drink, you need to realize that choice does not end with drinking. Are you getting this right now? let's tell a lie and get some money. You've told the lie, you have gotten the money, and then you use the money, say, to buy a pair of shoes. It does not end there. Your choices on earth have consequences, okay, on your life in eternity. Listen to this. Your outcome in eternity is determined by two major seeds we sow here in time. So this is what you need to understand. The time is for sowing. Eternity is for harvest. Do you understand? Time is for sowing. Eternity is for harvest. And while we are in time, there are two seeds all of us are sowing. The first is belief. The other one is behavior. The first is belief. The other one is what? Is behavior. Now listen to this. Your belief, that is your faith, determines your location in eternity. That was what we talked about last week, so we can go back. You see, no matter how good a person is, as far as men are concerned, it does not matter. If he has not put his faith in Christ, the Bible says in John 3:16-18, he is condemned already, not because of what he is doing, but because he has refused to accept Christ. Your belief on earth determines your location in eternity. It's very important. That's why I told you last week, you know anybody who is not born again, you need to treat them like somebody in an emergency room. Hallelujah. Your belief determines your location in eternity. It's important. When you believe the gospel and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in the book of life. Your name is written in the book of life. Revelation 20:15 says the basis for judgment is whoever's name is not found written in the book of life is thrown into the lake of fire. Listen, God is so simple and straightforward. You can argue till you die. But he said it's very simple. Accept Jesus. Your name is in the book of life. So you see, when a person dies, judgment is, did you accept Jesus? Yes or no? Location is determined. There's nothing like, but I was a nice guy. I gave to church. I was always serving. I was always carrying Bible. No. Did you believe? It determines location. This is the next one. Your behavior determines your reward in time and eternity. You know, I love God so much. God understands how that human beings, we have a problem with time. I mean, that's why we don't save like we should. Okay, because we want immediate gratification. So this is what God did. So that some of us will not lose hope, lose faith, and forget to invest in our futures. He makes sure that for every good thing we do here, you are rewarded here and in eternity. See, but the reward we get here is just a tip of the iceberg. It's just God's way of saying, let me keep you around, let me keep you motivated till the big deal comes. Your behavior determines your reward in time and in eternity. Let's look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 to 30. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, you need to understand, eternal life is not just duration, it also means quality. Eternal life is the life of God, the very life of God. Now, when you see houses, fathers, mother, and all of that, it's not literal. It's talking about the fact that on earth, you'll have to deny yourself to follow Jesus. But for all of those times you deny yourself, he said you will get 100-fold of what you have denied yourself of. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I see nobody should envy pastors. For me, it's always very painful. Because a lot of the criticisms against pastors, that's where it comes from. It's envy. So you look at their life. They have been married. In fact, they started from, they said, why have you noticed almost all pastors' wives are very beautiful? It's God's reward system. When every other person was sleeping around, this guy kept himself. He was faithful. On purpose, God decides to reward him with a queen. If you want what he has, do what he does. It's the same thing. While every other person is running for themselves, looking for what they are going to get, these guys decide to pour themselves into some other people. When those people become very prosperous, they now turn around and say, I want to reciprocate. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to reciprocate. See, I've not been a pastor for too long. I'm still a very young man. But sometimes they say the way some people reciprocate. Hello? Honestly speaking, if you don't know what to do with your life, you can approach God. See, can I be a man of God? Because believe you me, God's reward system never fails. The only thing is, it takes a lot of time, a lot of time in investment. God does not pay salary with rewards. Salary is every month. A reward is determined by God. But when it comes, it comes. Are you getting what I'm talking about? When it comes, it comes. When you see God reward people on earth, that is God advertising to the rest of us. This is how I treat people that are faithful to me. The Bible says in Hebrews, them that come to God must what? Must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder. He doesn't pay, He rewards. There are two different things. Okay? He is a rewarder. It's not payment, it's reward. See, payment is equivalent to effort. Reward is motivational, is inspiring. Reward is on another level. Good example is the parable of talents. Okay, if you look at the Luke 19 account, parable of minas, this guy turned 1 to 10. So let's assume it's 1 million naira that he turned to 10 million naira. Okay, the master said, you have been faithful in little, I will make you master. He said, governor of 10 cities. Your reward is never commensurate to your effort. Are you getting this? And the Bible says it's in time. That's what Jesus said. It's in time. There are times where to serve Jesus, you will have to forsake father and mother. You would have to give up some things. You would have to give up pleasure. You would have to give up seeming opportunities. You would have to sometimes even give up your reputation. That's the truth. You would have to give up how you feel. But you've got to always remember there's reward in time and in eternity. Hallelujah. In time and in eternity. For the purpose of this discussion, there are two types of believers. There are two types of believers. The first one are believers who are in faith and who have good works. Okay? They have God's reward. Okay? Faith. When I say faith here, because you need to understand, for the purpose of this message now, we're talking about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, belief in Jesus. So you have faith. It is after faith that you now begin to build good works. So you now need to understand, the next time they say, we need somebody to help us usher, we need somebody to take care of the children, we need somebody to do anything. The Bible says God is faithful. He will not forget your labor of love in that you have ministered to the saints and you do minister. So there's a reward. But reward does not come before faith. Hallelujah. So you want to make sure you are good with God. You are at peace with God. You have given your life to Christ. Then you need to realize everything you do after that is recorded. And you are going to be what? You are going to be rewarded. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. It says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Do you understand? So when I finish preaching a service and nobody walks up to me in the corridor and says, Pastor Shagun, that blesses me. It's okay. As a matter of fact, I really don't need a compliment. I want a reward. There are two different things. That's what I told you last week in the words of John C. Maxwell. He that forgets the ultimate becomes a slave to the immediate. Some of us have lost our faith, lost our place in God because we got offended at people. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you are serving in church and people will make you look like a slave. They will talk down on you. They will look down on you. They will treat you like dirt because they equate what you do in service as to your value. It does not matter. Put a reward sign. You know, the naira sign is an N, the dollar sign is an S. Okay, so you develop the reward sign. It's a big capital R with 4 stripes. The dollar has 2, so this has to be more than that. Just imagine it on all of them. You know, that's what they do to you at the bank. You notice they tell you, sir, all the time. Even when you have 2,000 in your bank balance, it does not matter. That guy gets 250,000 every month, regardless of your bank balance. Calling you, sir, is not a problem. So you notice every bank that does well, there's one thing they focus on, it's called customer service. Have you noticed? There's a way they treat you, the air conditioning. The challenge I have with believers is with all scriptures, with all the possibility that scripture describes to you, a lot of people don't place value on Jesus. Don't place value on their faith. Don't place value on their attitude. So you can look down on me, you can talk down on me. Regard, I understand. Big R sign on you. It's like when you are the house help to a multimillionaire. The child can say anything. I'm not serving you, I'm serving your father. Somebody put it this way. Said, I love God. It's his children I can't stand. It's okay when you know who is going to pay you. I'm helping somebody here this morning. That's why you are going to endure. They will talk to you one way. I'm telling you the truth. As a matter of fact, one time I was praying. I was still very young then. The Holy Spirit said to me, he said, to every dream, there's a degree of shame. To every dream, there's a degree of shame. So the Bible says we should look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You don't understand. He is the creator. When your children disrespect, you know how you respond. Not to now talk about what you create. How many of you kill ants regularly? I feel guilty once in a while, but you know, I still did this one. I think I killed like two or three this one. I just like to show power. And sometimes they'll be running. And you follow. The hole is somewhere there. And I just follow. Then when I just... And I don't even feel anything. I didn't create it though. So picture Jesus at the cross. Listen, the disciples of Jesus that had operated with just 3.5 years, not eternity. Peter caught somebody's ear. You know what you know? We can cause any trouble with Jesus. Nothing will happen. The sons of thunder, they said, should we call legions? Jesus said no. So Jesus told them, I was in the temple courts all the time. So nobody can take my life except I lay it down to pick it up again. As a matter of fact, when they got to Jesus, he said, who are you looking for? He said, we are looking for Jesus. When he said, I am, the Bible said they fell down. The people that came to arrest him, even Jesus said, like to show. I mean, think about that. If you're a police officer, some of this, anytime they harass you now, as a believer, you know your power in Christ. When they say, pack, you start saying, I am. Because you see, if a police officer says, hey, pack, and the person wants to lift hand, and the hand cannot go up, they will respect themselves. So Jesus told them, look, you are taking me because I'm yielding myself to you. The sons of Zebedee, let's call down thunder. Let's call legion of angels. These people, Jesus said, no, this has to happen. We must allow this to happen. You need to understand, when life is treating you funny, when people are treating you funny, you need to realize, listen, maybe God said it should happen this way, but I'm going to do what God has called me to do because I'm not going to let you make me miss my reward. Are you getting this? So picture Jesus on the cross. Said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I thought it was because Jesus was Jesus. No, the Bible said, for the joy set before him. In other words, if you have an eternal perspective, you will not misbehave in time. You understand what I'm saying? When somebody looks for your trouble, you will know. Look, eternity is at stake. One married man say, come and be a side chick. Eternity is at stake. One guy, if he says, let's add some zero, let's steal some money. Eternity is at stake. Are you getting this? Eternity is at stake. It's just a little lie. No, it's not a little lie. It's going to cost so much. Eternity is at stake. Hallelujah. Eternity is at stake. The second category of Christians are the ones who have faith in Jesus, but who are not paying attention to good works. It will lead to loss. You have faith in Jesus, but you are not paying attention to your good works. It will lead to what? It will lead to loss. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I need you to pay attention to this. This is very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11 to 15. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 to 15 says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation, please pay attention. This is crucial. Using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. His work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. Or rather, that word revealed there also means it will be tested with fire. It says, and the fire will test the quality, not the appearance, the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Now, pay attention to this. So beyond my faith in Jesus, beyond the fact that I've accepted Christ, when I get to eternity, God is going to reward me based on my work. Now, the Bible is saying, no foundation can be laid again except the foundation that is Jesus. In other words, if your behavior is not built on faith in Jesus, it's a waste. But as you build, it's your discretion to use gold or silver, costly stones, clay, hay. Now, this is it. This is what men call excellence. And you need to realize that the quality of your work is discretional. I like to tell people that all the time. The person that built with gold said God deserves gold. The one that built with silver says God deserves silver. And you need to understand, it is discretional. I don't like it when people are jealous of people who are being blessed by God because he's rewarding their effort. You gave stones. He gave gold. Listen, God is God, but he has feelings. And God reacts. Hello? The Bible says he's a jealous God. Do you understand? So Cain and Abel came to offer their sacrifices, and the Bible said that Cain just took something. His mind was not in what he was doing, and he brought it as a sacrifice. Abel looked at the best, okay, of his, of his animals. The best, and he offered it to God. See, the Bible said God responded to Abel different from the way he responded to Cain. See, it's not a new thing. What is the response? Jealousy. Listen, the moment you start beefing anybody for no reason, always remember it's not their fault. It's jealousy. Jealousy. When, if there's anybody that, no matter what the person says, your reaction to the person is negative, something is wrong with you. It's on your side. Because there's nobody that is so foolish that does not make sense at least once a day. That's the truth. That's why you will never hear me criticize any minister. You can't. It's not possible. That's the truth. When it's easy for you to believe that you hear God and another person does not hear God, something is wrong with you. Because nobody has a monopoly on God. It's jealousy. Sometimes you can't explain somebody's prosperity, so you conclude he must be doing something wrong. Hallelujah. So why is his church that big? Why is this on television? He's wasting money. Is he your money? But it is jealousy. Jealousy. And it's the flesh. But you need to understand, you can get whatever you want if you will do what? If you will do things the right way. You can get whatever it is you want if you will do things the right way. Hallelujah. So every man's work will be tested. It will be tested by fire. Pay attention now. It will be tested by fire. If his work is found wanting, he said he will suffer loss. This is what I'm saying. It is futile for you to carry Bible, for you to come to church, serve in church, and at the end of the day, you suffer loss. So I asked myself this powerful question. Write it down. What is God testing? Hello? What is God measuring? What is God testing? Because the Bible says, there's no other foundation that can be laid, which is Jesus. Everybody can decide to build with stone, with gold, with stones, with precious stones, with hay, with clay. It says, look, even if you build with wood, because that's what you can afford, God says, I'm not testing stone. I'm not testing gold. I'm not testing precious stones. I'm not testing hay. I'm not testing clay. Hallelujah. Because it's very simple. You can test gold with fire. You cannot test wood with fire. So it must not be something physical that God is testing. Are you getting this right now? Don't forget, for everything you do, there is a reward in time and in eternity. Some people are living in jealous streets right now because somebody, God is rewarding somebody and he's not rewarding you. And you are becoming jealous. Forgetting that if you know what God is measuring and you give it to him, he will reward you. So the big question is, what is God measuring? Because what God is measuring is what God will measure. Hallelujah. What God is measuring is what God will measure. So what is God measuring? I'll help you understand that tonight. Okay? What God is measuring is the heart behind the deed. Your deed can be gold. My deed can be wood. God is not measuring wood. God is not measuring gold. God is measuring the heart behind the deed. Another word for that is what? Motive. So what you are doing is not as important as why you are doing what you are doing. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10 from the Message Bible. It says, but I, God, so this is God now, but I, God, search the earth and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them, that is humans, as they really are, not as they pretend to be. So if you come to church, for example, and you are acting as if you are chummy-chummy with God, but Monday to Friday you are living like the son of the devil, God says, I'm going to check your heart. Listen, there's nobody who is born of God. If you give your life to Christ, you cannot make a habit of sin. It's not possible. When you see a Christian that lives habitually in sin, it's intentional. You know the reason why? Because the Holy Spirit will not allow you. So you will get to the point where you will know this is what God will have me do, and you will consciously decide to disobey God. So you're still fighting with your spouse, you're still raising your voice. Severally, the Holy Spirit will tell you, keep quiet. Don't talk to that lady like that. Don't talk to that man like that. Amen? It's not because he didn't tell you. You have decided to silence the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know what I love about the Holy Spirit? Even when you are silencing the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart, he will send people to you. Hallelujah. He will do what? He will send people to you. Two powerful principles I derived from this verse of scripture we just read. And we're done this morning. When you do the right things for the wrong reason, you will lose your reward. Here in time and in eternity. When you do the right thing for the wrong reasons, you will lose your reward here in time and in eternity. If there's anything I have seen in church, it is people saying something with their mouth that they don't mean with their hearts. Okay? Saying things with their mouth, giving an impression that is not a reflection on their heart. Jesus said, if you're standing in the place of prayer and you remember that you have something against somebody, he said, lift your gift there. Go and be reconciled. Then you can come back and pray and offer the gift. In other words, when it comes to God, heart is more important than act. Write it down. When it comes to God, heart is more important than act. So to develop an eternal perspective is to know there's reward in eternity, and what God is measuring is the state of my heart. Not the quality of my act. The state of my heart. You know what that means? Final principle. Excellence before God is not effizy. Excellence before God is not effizy. Excellence before God is righteous intention. Righteous intention. Some other time we'll take this to another level, we'll go deeper. But if you want to please God and you want to live a life of rewards, you have to pay attention to your heart, not just to your act, to your heart. Hallelujah. Let's bless God this morning.